Hi, it's Tony. On today's show, we'll see if Chuck Todd can continue his domination of Reginald the Monkey with his NFL picks, and we'll chat with Mitch Albom about the Lions and what their success means to Detroit. But first, let's put the wheels of commerce in motion.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Jason Kelce last night, shirtless.
Without a shirt?
Yeah, chucking beers. Yeah.
What are they doing in that row of seats? Who are those people?
Retirement's been good to him.
Who is hugging Taylor Swift all the time? Who's that girl?
Maybe Mahomes' wife, maybe?
Mahomes' wife? Is that who that is?
Maybe.
I don't know. Do you know who that is?
There's a lot of people in the box.
Taylor Swift is the greatest thing that ever happened to the NFL. I know Wilbon doesn't care for her.
That girl.
But she's drawing all the people in.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Just playing off that, I should have said this the other day. Why would you say it's Mahomes' wife? Have you any idea what Mahomes' wife looks like? Have you ever seen her?
Yeah, I think I've seen a picture of her.
Really?
Yeah.
And does she look like that?
Well, I didn't see the actual thing. You said
you just made that up. You said it's Mahomes' wife.
No. Well, I know Mahomes' wife.
It could have been anybody's wife. Could have been Andy Reid's wife.
It could have been, but I know Mahomes' wife and Taylor Swift.
Are pals?
Yes, have been palsy-wowsy. Yes, hanging out and...
I hope you're right, because it's so out of nowhere, Mahomes' wife.
Well, I base that on seeing all the paparazzi photos.
What if it was Jason Kelce's wife?
It could have been Jason Kelce's wife.
I don't know if he has a wife.
No, he does. He does have a wife, because apparently she said something to the effect of, put your shirt on and get back in the box.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. All right, so today, you know, we're obviously going to talk with Chuck Todd about football. Mitch Albom's going to be on. We're going to talk about the Detroit Lions. Mitch has lived in Detroit for 40-something years now. But it's a baseball open because the Hall of Fame was announced. Wilbon, of course, disappointed Gary Sheffield didn't get in. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. That's just me. But Wilbon knows him and met him, and so he became the greatest baseball player who never played for the Cubs of all time, and fine. But three guys got in. Adrian Beltre got in his first year of eligibility with like 97% of the vote. So that is a no-brainer. Adrian Beltre, 95% of the vote. 3,166 hits and 477 home runs. Okay, so he's in.
Yes.
You know, he's the only third baseman to have a better wins against replacement than Adrian Beltre over the course of his career is Mike Schmidt and Eddie Matthews. So he's getting in.
That's pretty good company.
You know, and he's mostly from the Texas Rangers. And that's fine. You know, he's getting in. Joe Mauer got like 77% of the vote, 76% of the vote. It was very, very close. Played his whole career with the Twins. Was an MVP one year. I don't think Beltre was an MVP.
Don't think he was.
Joe Mauer was an MVP, and he won three batting titles. And he's a catcher. He won three batting titles as a catcher. Johnny Bench didn't do that.
No.
Mike Piazza didn't do that. Yogi Berra didn't. No, he won three batting titles. Now, you know, these are the three guys who got in are in small markets. They're in small markets. They're not they would have been much bigger stars in New York or Los Angeles or Chicago or Philadelphia. But I'm okay with that. Todd Helton is the one I wonder about. I mean, Joe Mauer, 306 career batting average. Todd Helton's batting average is better. It's 316, 349 home runs, but only 142 on the road because he played at Coors Field.
Yes.
And I think I read that he's the first guy to get in playing his entire career in Colorado, where the ball appears to be juiced because of the elevation.
Yeah.
Michael, you these are
keep
people you know.
Yeah, this feels like these classes, and I'm looking forward to what's coming up in the years to come. You have like Ichiro's on the next ballot, but this sort of feels like where it goes from being people that you watched as a child to now just sort of baseball. These are now just baseball players. Do you think as you look at that and you talk about small market teams that in some ways where baseball has come and the hot stove, that actually helps as you reflect on their careers that they stayed in those places?
I don't know. That is an actual open question for me. I think the preponderance of people who get in have played in large markets, at least for a few years, unless they are like, you know, just no-brain guys. And Ichiro, to me, is a no-brain guy. He has to get in. He's probably the greatest hitter of all time when you factor in what he did in Japan. So I don't know about that. I would have put in Beltre. I would have put in Mauer. I'm not sure about Helton. I wouldn't put in Sheffield. Billy Wagner is on that list and came close as well. I don't know.
He's got one more year, right?
Yeah, I don't know Billy Wagner. I don't know. I mean, is he a Hall of Famer? I don't. Not to me.
What I feel
it's
like.
It's not the Hall of the Very Good. It's the Hall of the Great.
But it's sort of becoming.
Yeah.
It's sort of becoming that, though, because they have that veterans committee that's expanded.
That's okay. So, I don't mind that.
Yeah, but like.
Because it allows me to say, no, he shouldn't get it.
Okay. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Not him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Beltre, definitely. That's no doubter, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because I had some friends that pushed back on that and said,
No.
Was he that good? I'm like, yeah, he really was that good.
Joey Gallo, big news for the locals. Joey Gallo, who I think hit 106 last
year. Swing and a miss.
Something like that. Joey Gallo, when he connects. See, it's really different than Dominic Smith, okay?
You just got the strikeouts.
Yeah. When Dominic Smith connects, it's a double. When Joey Gallo gets wood on the ball, it's out. It's out. He had 41 home runs in 2017, 40 in 2018, 38 in 2021 with, and pay attention to this number, 213 strikeouts. Joey Gallo is feast or famine.
Yeah.
He's a lefty, and the Nats need lefties. Right? They need lefty bats, don't they?
Yeah, and more than that, they need some potential upside because you have a couple of young bats who likely will get some play this year.
Yeah.
So if you can have a veteran, even with the strikeouts, I think that's what you're looking for.
177 last year was his batting average. That's a good bowling score for me. 177.
You think you can still get over 150 in bowling?
No, not anymore. 21, I don't think so. Maybe. Over 150, that requires you to mark on every frame. I'm not sure I can do that. So I only bowl once every 2 years, so I don't think so. Right. 21 homers and 142 strikeouts. Didn't he finish 2 years ago? He was with the Yankees where he hit nothing. He hit like one. His career batting average is 197. Mm. It's sort of like Schwarber, but not as good.
Yeah.
But right, Michael, not as good as
not
Schwarber.
Not yet, yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah, when you were with the Yankees, it was one. It's been pretty steady. It was going back to 2021 combo year with the Rangers Yankees, about 160, then 159, 160 with the Dodgers, 177 with the Twins.
Doesn't hit for average, but his on base percentage is better than you think it is. I guess because he gets a lot of walks, because people don't really want to pitch to him because if he touches it,
it's gone.
Yeah, I think he's a wonderful addition. Gives us somebody to root for, and if he's batting 150 by June, okay, get rid of him. It's a $5 million deal.
Yes.
In baseball, for a guy with that many years, it's really nothing at all.
And whatever incentive's built in, you'd be happy to pay it.
Sure, absolutely. So I'm looking forward to that, as I was not looking forward to Dom Smith. And he's also a pretty good outfielder, right? Joey Gallo is said to be a good outfielder.
Yeah.
So what is the starting outfield now? Lane Thomas, Joey Gallo, and who? Although they could DH Joey Gallo.
That's
but
right.
But he's a good fielder. Why would you DH him?
He's good.
He's not Kyle Schwarber.
No.
He's a good
Schwarber, you have to DH, yes.
Yeah. One other thing to talk about, the Milwaukee Bucks fired Adrian Griffin, their first-year coach. Here's his record, 30-13. It's the second-best record in the Eastern Conference. It's the third-best record in the National Basketball Association. And they fired him. And Wilbon went on yesterday about they better do better or it's not going to work. It's results-based. Missing the entire point. They fired him because Giannis Antetokounmpo went to them and said, get rid of this guy. And maybe Damian Lillard said it as well. Get rid of this guy. Because in the NBA, if stars don't want you, stars say the following sentence, if you don't get rid of him, I want to be traded. Can't have that.
No.
Magic Johnson, the much revered Magic Johnson. I love Magic Johnson. Some years back with the Los Angeles Lakers, he went to the owner and he said, get rid of Paul Westhead. Paul Westhead had won a championship 2 years before. The next year, he was like 54-28, and he was 7-4 early in the season. And Magic Johnson said, get rid of him, and he was out. LeBron James in Cleveland, the owner brought in a coach with great credentials outside the United States of America, David Blatt. David Blatt was 30-11. That's even better than 30-13. Yes. And LeBron James went to the owner and said, get him out. And he was out. Yes. And that's how it works. It does not work that way in football. It does not work that way in baseball. There are many more moving parts in those sports. In basketball, if you're a star, you know, you just say, I'm not playing. If you don't do what I want, I'm not. Look at James Harden. He just says, that's it. That's it. Not only am I done here, but here's where I insist that you trade me. And they do. They do these things. They didn't do it for Damian Lillard, who wanted to go to Miami, but Damian Lillard went to Milwaukee, and it's an M. So it's pretty much the same thing. And he's playing with Antetokounmpo, and they got a chance every year to win a title. And Adrian Griffin's out, right? He's out.
Yeah.
That's sort of a stunner.
We told you we won't accept anything but excellence. 30-13? Yeah, get out of here.
And the first coach you mentioned, very player-friendly.
Which coach?
Doc.
Oh, Doc.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody loves Doc. Now, yeah. Doc doesn't win. Doc has lost three different series where he's up 3-1 in the playoffs. Nobody else has lost more than one, if I have the numbers right.
Yeah.
But we all love Doc.
Love Doc.
And Doc's trading up. He's trading from Embiid, who hasn't won a title, to Antetokounmpo, who has won a title. And he has Damian Lillard. You know, if Doc Rivers, did Doc get that job? Is it done?
I don't think it's a done deal, no.
Right. So, I mean, people say, well, you know, Doc, what's he going to do about broadcasting the games? He's going to stop broadcasting the games. He's going to take a lot more money to coach a team, and he can come back in the booth whenever he wants because he's really good.
Yes, he is.
He's really good.
Yeah, it keeps him off the golf course.
Yeah, it keeps him off Bel Air with Uncle Big Al. Yeah. And as Wilbon did point out yesterday, in the city of Milwaukee, Doc Rivers is a godlike figure because he was an All-American at Marquette, and his number is retired. So this is I think it's sort of a can't miss unless you're Adrian Griffin. Then it is a miss. It's a swing and a miss. At 30-13.
Yeah.
Wow. You think he'll get another job somewhere? I assume he will.
I would think.
30-13.
That's pretty good.
All right, we'll take a break. Chuck Todd will join us when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a song called Buck Moon. It is by a group called Listening Party, and I can't tell you anything about them because Nigel didn't print up their email, so he is now forced to read their email.
Yes. Dear TK Show, thought I would send a bad dog story along with some music for my favorite band. I'm sure I've missed the cutoff and we're on to a new subject, but this is a dog, my dog ate this story. My Chesapeake Bay Retriever Sergio once ate an entire sheet cake that was on the counter without disturbing the aluminum foil that I had loosely covered it with. I came home from work to a cake pan in exactly the same spot I had left it, with the foil still resting on top of the pan. Imagine my confusion when I lifted the foil to find an empty pan that had been mostly licked clean. On to the music. The band Listening Party has been busy in the studio, and I'm sending two new songs from the third album, Long Time Coming. As always, your support of the undiscovered artists in the music industry is greatly appreciated.
That's very good. That's yes. A very good read. They play in Chuck Todd. And this is an intro for Chuck Todd. This week's picks with Chuck Todd and Reginald the Monkey are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Chuck Todd went 4-0 last week. 4-0. Nobody else, male or simian, was at or above 500. Nobody else. Chuck Todd, 4-0. Now 81-60-3. I hope you are betting with yourself because you're making a pile of dough, but you're probably not.
No, I'm not going to. I've actually had a pretty good couple of months. I'm not going to lie. That's good. One of those I've been very disciplined too, not over betting, not getting too cocky. It's one of those, not going to complain, you know, the 56% type of winning percentage mindset, you know.
I think that's very good. And I should point out that we pick, not in the playoffs, but during the year, we give Chuck games. We don't give Jeff Ma picks games, Carville picks games. The Monkey picks games, picks his own games.
Yes.
Chuck Todd gets things sent to him.
And I just eat blue plate specials. I don't just automatically count them to my pile. And, you know, last week, you give Carville all these crazy great lines, and I end up getting the crummy line, and I won anyway. So,
You went 4-0. You went 4-0. We have two games. Yeah. And I will remind you,
Am I getting the Carville lines? Are these the good leads? Are these the good leads? Are these the Glengarry, Glenn Ross leads?
I don't know, Shelly. Give me the leads, Shelly.
Coffee's for closers, and you are a closer. Yeah.
Third place, you're fired. I think these are the regular lines. Kansas City plus 3.5, Detroit plus 7. I will remind you, I don't know who you're going to pick with Kansas City, Baltimore, which is the more attractive game. There's no question about that. I don't know who you're going to pick. But you said yesterday or a couple of days ago to me, you know, you just can't bet against Mahomes with points. You just can't do it. Here is an opportunity. Baltimore's the best team in football. They are. Baltimore came out in the second half of that playoff game, tied 10-10, and obliterated Houston. I mean, they allowed 3 points. Don't talk to me about punt returns. Their defense allowed 3 points in the entire game. They were a 3.5-point favorite, and I believe they are the best team in the league. That doesn't mean I wouldn't bet Kansas City, but I'm setting this up to find out your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I mean, this we went through this sort of in the middle of peak Patriots, right? Where each individual year you were like, you know, Brady didn't have any receivers. Who's he throwing to?
That's right.
You know, right? And you sit there like, they don't have a running back, or they'd sign a – who's that running back they'd sign every year, like halfway through? Suddenly he'd magically come back. I'm drawing a blank now. But it would be in the playoffs, he'd suddenly start doing something. And that's what we keep saying now about the Chiefs. So, does anybody throw to? Oh, Gronk's getting old. Oh, Kelsey's getting old. All of that stuff. So I everything says Ravens.
Yeah.
But I just not gonna, not 3.5 points too. That's the, that extra, I mean, Ravens winning this thing 31-28, right? 27-24, sure. Justin Tucker, all of that.
Yeah. Best kicker ever. Point. He's the best kicker ever. Yeah.
I am on Mahomes.
Weather is not a factor in this game. Kansas City's colder than, it doesn't matter what the weather is in this game. It's not going to matter to either team. So you're making the bet on Patrick Mahomes, aren't you?
Yeah. I am. These are also the two, you got to say this about the two coaches. I mean, you take Belichick away, right? And we're having an argument about Harbaugh versus Reed.
That's right. That's right. Both have won Super Bowls. Reed's won two. Harbaugh's won one. But their records are awfully good. Their longevity. Well, Reed is going to end up coaching two teams for a really long time. Philadelphia and Kansas City.
You know, Reed's probably going to break the all-time wins record.
You think he'll stay long enough? You think
he
will?
If he stays, how long would you stay with Mahomes?
As long as he was there, yes.
Yeah.
If they'd have me, yes.
Boy, I mean, let's go 5 years. 10 wins a year, another 50 wins right there.
Probably more than 10 in a 17-game schedule with Mahomes. I think you could add.
Right.
You'd have to give yourself 11.5 in that. All right, let's go to the other game. Detroit, the sentimental favorite, now that Buffalo is out, they were co-sentimental favorites. Now it's just Detroit, is at San Francisco. Detroit is getting 7. San Francisco made me nervous. San Francisco should have lost to Green Bay. They really should have lost to Green Bay. Their defense was not good, was not an attacking defense, did not stop essentially a rookie quarterback. He's been there a few years, but this is his essential rookie season. They ran on San Francisco. They passed on San Francisco. Brock Purdy was a little shaky, made a great last drive. But early in the game, I felt Green Bay dropped some interceptions. I thought, you know, I honestly thought that was going the other way. And I think San Francisco, and said this at the beginning of the year, is going to win the Super Bowl. But I'm not as definitive about that now. I could see Detroit winning, but I do think San Francisco is a significantly better team, though Deebo Samuel's physical condition is a concern. I have set this up for you. Go.
I blame myself for the Packers losing because in the third quarter, I may or may not have started to check on flights to Detroit this coming weekend. Yeah. With my son, we were getting very, very, very excited. You know, my one more just sort of Packer lament here. I'm like 95% in on Jordan Love, but I'd like him to win a game in the fourth quarter. I'd like to see that. Right, that was the one thing we didn't see all year, and I feel that way about LaFleur too, as coach. You know, I don't want to say they lost the game in the fourth quarter, but it felt like the team choked it a little bit. Just felt like moment got a little too big for them. I don't know. That's
very young team. Very young team. So, yeah,
right.
Maybe.
I'm a little nervous about Purdy in this spot, but I don't trust that Lions defense. And I just don't know how they stop San Francisco. But the points here, I think 7 points is too much. I think this is going to be a pretty high-scoring game. I assume San Francisco finds a way to win this game. They just got too many, a slightly better defense. But it's not as good as we all talk about it.
It's not. It's not.
Yeah. No, it is not as good as its reputation. But the Lions' defense is even worse. So give me the Lions and the points. But I'll be honest.
Sense you're not confident in this bet.
I just, my issue is Purdy.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I'm not laying the points. I'd like to see him lay the smack down in a playoff game, and then I might feel better about that.
There was a graphic last week about the eight remaining quarterbacks in the playoffs. Seven of the eight were drafted in the first round. Brock Purdy was the only one who was not, and he was one pick away from not being drafted.
Yes.
So, but I think he's been very credible over the 2 years, yes?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
So was Jimmy Garoppolo, got to a Super Bowl with this team.
Yes.
Right? So, I mean, you know, Purdy, I think for, you know, he's always going to get the, well, he's a system quarterback and all this stuff. You know, they've got to win the Super Bowl, I think, for Purdy to sort of get out of this idea that he just got lucky by being drafted by the Niners, right?
You're a Packers fan. Bart Starr was a system quarterback.
Yeah, he was.
And one of the greatest of all time, right?
Yeah, and he ran the system quite well.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
You know, all right. Now,
well, okay. Bob Greasy.
Yes,
was.
For the Dolphins. Yes, he was that way, too.
Yeah,
he was that way, too.
The whole time.
Yeah. All right. Good luck.
See ya.
Chuck Todd, boys and girls. And if we gave you Chuck Todd, that would be more than enough. But we go one up. We give you a monkey.
See the monkey, scritch, scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging out with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple attaché. Nigel's going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Reginald's got the fikes by it too. Sometimes he throws his poo, poo, poo when he's had too much Johnny Walker Blue.
That's Virginia Coalition. We love that song. That's sent to us by Steve Dawson.
Yes.
That is just absolutely wonderful. Nigel's done. Nigel was 0-4.
Reginald.
Nigel is now, sorry, you're done too. Reginald was 0-4. Reginald is 26-33-2. He had a chance from Mount 500. He was going so well. He had three straight winning weeks. Got skunked last week.
Took the pipe, yeah.
Yeah, but he gets to pick.
He does.
We're allowing him to pick.
So I went down to visit him at the National Zoo. It's a very busy scene down there. He was busy rehearsing for a new play he's going to be in. It's going to be a limited edition release at the Kennedy Center later this spring. The Iceman Cometh.
Oh, sure.
He wanted to do a family project because he does so many action movies. He wanted to do something everyone in the family could enjoy.
He's usually with The Rock in most of these movies.
Well, actually, The Rock was unavailable for this. He's alongside Matthew Rhys, Elliot Gould, and Vin Diesel. So Vin Diesel, obviously the replacement for The Rock, Yes. But they took a break from rehearsal to go over these matches, and the first one we gave them was Baltimore at home.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I like The Rock. Mm-hmm. I like to watch The Rock.
Sure, he's very entertaining.
Vin Diesel annoys me sometimes. He's like a miniature Rock. But, you know, should I feel that way? I mean, those Fast and Furious movies, they're always very good.
Yes, and
they're frothy, but they're good.
They're both Fast and Furious, so it's terrific. It started out with just Vin Diesel, and then The Rock became a part of it, so... Yeah, I mean, you don't have to like Vin Diesel.
The Rock is so much bigger than life.
He's gigantic.
You know? And Vin Diesel would seem bigger than life, but when you stand next to The Rock, you're not.
And apparently they've had some kind of feud.
Is that right?
Yeah, they don't like one another at all. So the first one we gave him was Baltimore at home, giving 3.5. And Reginald showed me a lovely video clip of him at a craps table in Monaco, throwing the dice alongside John Lowenstein, Kiko Garcia, and Omar from The Wire.
He's going... Omar coming. He's going with Baltimore.
Yes. Yes. So he's going to go with the Ravens on that one and feel pretty good about it. Now, the next match we gave him was San Francisco at home giving 7 to the Detroit Lions. And this was something I don't think you would ever do, but Reginald was base jumping. Do you know what that is?
No.
That's where you jump off a cliff and you don't pull the parachute until very late in the fall.
No, I wouldn't do that.
So that's not something he would do.
No.
Well, he was doing this alongside Merton Hanks, Willie McCovey, and Buster Posey.
So he's going San Francisco.
Tells me he's going to tank the Niners.
He's going the home teams and giving points.
Yes.
Well, we'll see how it works out. We'll see. This week's picks with Chuck Todd and Reginald the Monkey have been brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. We will come back with... my old and good friend Mitch Albom. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Once again, this is Listening Party. This is a song called Reckless. If people want to send in their music, Michael, like this, unknown bands, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheiserschow.com.
I'm going to read this email from James Vaughn Evans. Good morning, all. I was born and raised in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, otherwise known as South Detroit. Growing up, I spent my Saturday mornings with my mom at our local diner. I grabbed the Detroit Free Press sports section. Devoured columns by Mitch Albom. I was 10. Today, I'm listening to and reading about the Lions as fan favorites. Super Bowls and Lions mentioned in the same sentence. Superlatives abound. I'm now 58. It is literally like living a dream. I went to one NFL game growing up and saw Barry Sanders. As a Lions fan, I'm waiting for the collapse. Been waiting all season. There's one reason why it hasn't happened. Dan Campbell biting kneecaps, never giving up, just like Detroit and South Detroit. Go Lions. Mitch Albom, you have lived in Detroit for how long now?
39 years.
That's a long time. So you know all these things. We'll get. I will. Of course, I'm going to mention the book. I just want to go through this narrative first. You've seen the Detroit Red Wings win. You've seen the Detroit Tigers win. You've seen the Detroit Pistons win. You just saw the University of Michigan win, and you've never seen the Lions win. What is this success so far? What does this feel like, and is there a dread that it will stop?
Not at this point. At this point, they're kind of house money-ish because the people didn't expect them to get this far. When you're in Detroit and you're a football fan, you're basically just looking to overcome curses. And so, there's a famous curse that Bobby Lane supposedly put on the team in 1957 when they got rid of him, whenever he said this team won't win again for 50 years and basically didn't. And so we were just hoping for a single playoff win because it had been 32 years since they had won a playoff game at all. And then they got that. And then it was like, well, could they get a second playoff win? I mean, we haven't seen that since 1957, which is, I can't even add how many years that is. And they got that. So now going to the NFC Championship and being one win away from the Super Bowl, it basically has blown up everyone's minds in Detroit. Nobody can fathom it. Everybody's walking around. You go to the doctor's office and the doctor says, you know, all right, take three of these and call me in the morning. Go Lions. Like everything. It's just go Lions at the end of every sentence wherever you go here. So it's a pretty great time, actually.
Wilbon says they're the Cubs. They don't have the lovable quality, probably, that the Cubs had because they lost for over 100 years. Do you accept that analogy that they're the Cubs?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as much as you can't really have another Cubs, they're Detroit's version of it. But right. I think Detroit has been more frustrated with the Lions over the years because they just kept going through coaches and GMs and quarterbacks and just constantly getting it wrong. I mean, you know, the NFL is different than baseball. Baseball, you have a bad draft, you have farm system, whatever, you know, you can blame that. But football, you get the number one pick all the time if you're bad, and we've had plenty of them, you know, and we've had top five picks. I mean, it's almost every year. So we keep blowing it over and over again, picking the wrong people, and all of a sudden they brought in this regime of Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. And Dan Campbell gets a lot of the attention, but Brad Holmes needs to get a lot of the credit because he hits on almost every draft pick. I mean, they have four or five guys from this past draft who are contributing. They're not just okay. They're guys like Sam LaPorta and Brian Branch. And these are starting, contributing players who are rookies, Jahmyr Gibbs.
you know, who everyone said they were crazy to take. Why would you take a running back? So when you, that's how you fix yourself in the NFL. You know, you fix it through the draft and you get a good coach, and they got both.
I thought Dan Campbell was a bozo when I first saw him. I did. I think a lot of people probably did. Did they think that in Detroit?
A little bit, but we like that kind of bozo around here, you know, the kind that's going to bite a kneecap. I think he gets a bad reputation that way. You know, I knew him a little bit as a player when he was here, and he was pretty smart and a leader in the locker room, and he is much smarter as a coach. He's you know, dumb like a fox kind of thing. There's a wisdom behind his, you know, Texas accent and little colloquialisms and honesty, basically. And he understands that the game of football, from not just from the effort point of view, but, you know, that whole thing about going for it on fourth down all the time, that's not because he's pigheaded. It's because he sort of understands there are ebbs and flows in football games. And, you know, those of us who have covered every game that he has coached, and you ask him, you know, why did you go for it on, you know, fourth and three from your own 38? And he'll say, I could just feel like the game was getting away from us. And if we didn't get that, we were going to get plowed. And that's what happens in football. And, you know, these guys who just go by the rules, well, if we're fourth and 3, 38, you got to punt it. You know, that's the safe way to go. He really gets the game, and he gets it from the inside. And there's a wisdom to that that I have not seen in any football coach that's coached this franchise since 1985. Not that that's a stellar list, because that includes Darryl Rogers and Wayne Fonts and Marty Morningweg and you know, some rather ignoble names.
I live in a city where the fan base hated the owner and wanted the owner to sell the team. I've seen that with the Oakland A's. I've seen that in a bunch of places. The New York Knicks, they don't like the owner. I've never heard people in Detroit wanting the Fords to sell the team. Have they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a very, very common theme when William Clay Ford was in charge of the team. William Clay Ford, you know, ran it from the 60s into the 2000s and was terrible at it. And, you know, I mean, no offense to the guy, and he's no longer with us. He just wasn't good at owning the team. And for many years, the accusation was, they don't care. They're the Fords, you know, it's Ford Motor Company.
Yeah.
They got a few other things going, and this is just a toy for them. And, you know, he had the same general manager, Russ Thomas, who was not good at his job for 25 years. You know, you don't keep the same guy who doesn't get it done for 25 years to really care about your football team. So it was only after the regime kind of handed over. First it went to Bill Ford, you know, William Clay Ford's son, and then it went over to Sheila Hamp eventually, who is kind of, she's the one responsible for sort of turning things around. She came in and she said, I'm sick of this, and we're not going to keep doing the same things we always did, and we're going to be serious, and we're going to do a great search. And she brought in Chris Spielman, who was kind of a lion's lion, you know, and helped with the search for the coach. And they came up with this winning combination, and now she's a hero.
Are they, Mitch, are they the favorite team in the city of Detroit, or is it another team that's the favorite?
No. I've always said, Tony, you know, we've been called Hockey Town when we won everything here. And then when the Pistons, it was like, well, it's a basketball town. It's Detroit. It's urban. It's whatever. And I've said since I got here, it was very apparent that Detroit is a football town that's just been asleep for 50 years. And we always said if we ever had a team that could go to the Super Bowl, this place would come unglued in a way that it didn't when the Pistons were winning, when the Tigers were winning, when the Red Wings were winning. And it's starting to happen now. What we didn't count on is that the rest of the country would jump on board.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, everybody loves the Lions.
And the Lions and the Bills would have been the best Super Bowl. But now it's the Lions. I guess what I wonder about is this. If you've grown up there, I know you haven't grown up there, but if you've grown up there, if they've been your team forever and ever and ever, and they've never been this far in your lifetime because the last time they won was 67 years ago, do fans expect them to lose this one?
You know, honestly, it's about half-half. You know, years past, it would have been, of course, they're never going to watch them come up with a way to lose. But after the last 2 weeks and what they've done and the way that they've done it, after the season that they played, really after starting the season beating Kansas City in Kansas City on the opening night of the NFL season, they've kind of defied the whole same old lines. There's an expression around here, SOL, that everybody says, you know, the talk shows, SOL, SOL, it's same old lines. And they've had to drop that here because they clearly have behaved differently. They would have lost to Stafford and the Rams, the old Lions. That would have been a classic Shakespearean loss for the Lions.
Right.
The old quarterback comes back, beats them in their own building. But it didn't happen. They held them off, and they beat them. And then they would have lost to the Tampa Bay Bucks. I mean, you know, there are years when the Detroit versus Tampa Bay was a very common game here because they were in the same division, and nobody ever went. You know, like you could hand away tickets to people to go because who wanted to watch either one of those teams? And now, wouldn't it be ironic? Wouldn't it be classic SOL if they lost to the Tampa Bay Bucks when they finally had a chance to go to the NFC Championship? They didn't do that. So they're losing people in terms of the expectations. And now it's like, dare we dream that they can do it, you know? And you're constantly seeing Dan Campbell in the locker room screaming at his guys, okay, we have two more games left with a bye in between. You know, that's the way they look at the season. We got two games left with a bye in between. So they're fully expecting to go to a Super Bowl. So if they do, you know, there's at least half the fan base now is sort of saying, well, maybe this isn't SOL anymore.
That would be wonderful. I know you have to go. How is The Little Liar doing in terms of book sales?
It's doing very well. Still on the New York Times bestseller list.
Good.
And reviews for it have been phenomenal. You know, I've been very, very touched. The people have enjoyed the book.
I'm very happy for you, as you know, and I'm very grateful that you would come on. I know it's a busy day. Thank you, Mitch.
Anytime, Tony. See you.
Best at home. Mitch Albom, boys and girls. We will take a break. We will have email and jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Yeah, let's say you do that, okay? You do that, like Glenn Winters does in the Mailbag Fugue. Let's see you do that. That is remarkable.
Just love feel like we're that. In the movie Amadeus for a moment
just
there.
Love that. You want to do the Bethesda Bagel ad?
Bethesda Bagels, we love them. You will as well. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in the D.C. area nearest you. Then pop on in, and you'll be thrilled.
That'll do it for us today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me just say you're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I want to hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. That's Frankie Valli alone. That's not with the Four Seasons.
That's just Frankie.
That's just Frankie Valli. That is wonderful. Thanks to our guests today, Chuck Todd, Mitch Albom. Thanks to our sponsors. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Audacy. If you get the show through Apple, please leave us a review. I didn't tell the Nautica story. I've got to tell the Nautica story. Michael, I have to tell it, don't I?
You
at
have
some
to tell
point?
It.
I didn't tell it. From Rich Goldstein. Why can't I find the TK show on News Channel 8 in D.C.? Well, maybe you need a better TV.
Yeah.
Is it HD?
You know,
yeah.
I mean, how hard is it? Everybody else gets it, Rich. Yeah. Why don't you get it?
Yeah, that's puzzling.
From Brian DeCenzo. Tell Wilbon to shove it. We don't want his loser franchise rubbing off on our Lions. How great is that? How great is that? From Terry Gans, now of San Carlos, California. And he sends a picture for Reginald of Bud Grant about to dunk a basketball.
Ooh.
He writes, Bud Grant, one of only two to play in the NBA and NFL. I don't know the other. I knew Bud Grant did that.
I'll look that up.
But I don't know the other. From Tim Duza, D-U-S-Z-A, Duza, Duza, I'm not sure. In a previous episode, Mr. Tony commented that he hasn't purchased or drank Merlot since Paul Giamatti's character, Miles, exclaimed, I am not drinking any bleepin' Merlot in the 2004 film Sideways. This is a sentiment shared by many after seeing the film, as Merlot production dropped 2% in the ensuing year and is only now just returning to its pre-Giamatti levels. However, what people don't realize is that in the book the film is based on, Miles' aversion to Merlot is not based on taste or quality, but rather the fact that it brings back memories of his ex-wife, and he associates the grape with her and their time together. In fact, Miles' prized bottle in his collection, a 1961 Cheval Blanc, is 40% Merlot, which makes Miles' distaste of the Merlot the equivalent of Paul McCartney singing, Why it had to go, oh Merlot, it couldn't stay. I'll drink that grape no more, how I long for yesterday. Which is a wonderful email.
From I'm Joe crazy Rizzo. About Merlot. I live for Merlot. Yeah.
From Joe Rizzo in Oak Hill, Virginia. Matt Quatraro, the manager of the Kansas City Royals, is a little? Hold on, Sparky. Under the heading Littles Helping Littles, our son Joe is a free agent after slashing a .299 batting average with a .518 slugging average with the AAA Toledo Mudhens last season.
Hmm.
I got to believe Matt could use that kind of bat in his lineup. So if he could put in a good word, this little would be greatly appreciative. Please tell him Tommy Mack, who signed Joe out of Oakton High School in Vienna, Virginia, can vouch for him. I'll let you, Michael, Nigel, know if this comes to pass.
Wouldn't that be great?
And the Royals visiting the Nats last week of the season.
Wouldn't that be great? And now introducing... You know. Okay. From Hickman Beckner. Tony, did you notice that you did not see a single Alabama logo on Nick Dunlap's shirt, hat, or bag? I did notice that. You did, however, see Adidas and TaylorMade logos. The golf rules for amateurs have changed to bring them in line with NIL. Did you notice at last year's Augusta National Women's Amateur, most of the top women in the field, like Rose Zhang, were wearing logos from the various golf manufacturers and not from their college? The only thing an amateur golfer cannot do is accept prize money. Yes, college golfers can and do receive payments for their name, image, and likeness. So don't worry about Nick Dunlap's caddy. There was plenty of money to pay him. Probably won't get the traditional winner's caddy share, but he will be paid. Good to know. From Joe in Portland, Maine. I love when you play Ian's mailbag song, and also the shout-out you give him for also being an emergency medicine doctor. One more amazing thing to note is his famous spouse, who is a bit of a D.C. area rock star herself. She is an Instagram-famous cat foster and rescuer. She has over 162,000 followers on Instagram as of this email, and it is at Pokey Pot Pie. Pokey Pot Pie. They are truly a power couple.
By the way, I have Otto Graham.
Otto Graham played in both?
Yeah, and then there was
Browns
somebody,
and?
Yeah, and then there was somebody named Mark Vitale, who apparently was in the NFL and didn't get drafted but signed with the Portland Trailblazers.
But didn't play?
In the summer league, and then was released.
Okay. From Peter Ward in Dundee, Scotland. Having heard your struggles with Chaucer on the pod, I've resisted the urge to translate this email into Middle English. Instead, I enclose some Shakespeare that could be applied equally to British zips. After all, a zip is a zip is a zip, or to Pete Rose. I look forward to more literary criticism on the pod, including your views on Robbie Burns. What's in a name? That which we call a rose, by any other word, would smell as sweet. Eat it, Chaucer. You know. Wes from Columbia, Missouri, which is the home of the University of Missouri. I'm from the Midwest, and I went to Mizzou. In response to Wilbon's ridiculous assertion about applauding the success of our rivals, I say M-I-Z, Fonz K-U. I mean, that's wonderful. Yeah, we'll call it on that. If you're out on your bike tonight, everybody, do wear white.
Maybe you could tell me what you think is going on here. And please, speak as you might to a young child or a golden retriever.
I'm looking at when I'm with you. We sure do fit swell like two peanuts in a shell. Darling, you're the one thing I can't stand to lose. 'Cause everything changes, the people and the places, acting like I know just what to do. Don't go changing too. Take the river through the valley, slip the back door to the alley. We always find a way to get by. Like a pebble in my shoe, wherever I go, I'm taking you. In this big old world, it's only you and I. Everything changes, people and the places, acting like we all know what to do. In the end, we all just get up when we fall, pray the next best thing. Don't go changing too. Time is getting old, but ain't the clock I'm looking at, 'cause that'd be rude. Our well is never dry, and like the buck moon in July, I can always bet to count on you. 'Cause everything changes, the wrinkles on our faces, acting like we all know what to do. When we fall into the next best thing, until that changes too. Hell, I know that I've been reckless. I don't need no laws to tell me that. Heaven sent me down an angel. Wasn't long before they took her back. I guess I always had it coming. Spent my days rotting in my skin. Off to the next town, I lay some hay down, start over. So many roads, so many ways, so many truths to the lies that I've been living. I wrap myself up in fancy linen. I play the game and I don't get used to winning. I'm living like I ain't got nothing left to lose. So many roads, so many ways.
So many truths to the lies that I've been living. I wrap myself up in fights a little. I play the game and I don't get used to winning. I made a fool of Sister Anne. She came out swinging, frying pan. I needed to go, so I lifted her keys. As I was driving off, she's yelling out, I see you in hell. So many roads, so many women, so many truths told.